Capital 263.
Hello, it's good to be back. My name is Sue. This is Career Board, your vital information portal. This is a weekly podcast to talk about career decisions, changes and transitions. We dare you to dream big, start small, and start now. In this episode, we're joined by Natasha from Shamari Manasikana, and today we're talking about child marriages and sexual harassment. Before we get into the details of our topic, I would like the guest to give a brief introduction in case I miss something important about your profile.
Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Natasha Ria, and I'm from Shamari Manasikana. I'm the program's coordinator there.
Okay. And tell us maybe what you do as Shamari Manasikana.
Okay. Shamari Manasikana is a community-based organization that seeks to promote the rights and empowerment of the girl child in home, school, and community. For us to be able to achieve that, we've got three main departments that we work with, namely the girls' empowerment, girls' protection and support services, and community development. And the Department of Girls' Empowerment, that's when we deal with girls directly in issues that affect them. We've got our girls' club, which we call Danda Rebaskana, whereby girls, they come and discuss issues affecting them in school and out of school. It's a platform where they can share with those who are not going to school, and they can actually discuss issues in relation to sexual reproductive health rights and how they can strengthen that bond of sisterhood. That's basically what girls empowerment does. We've got programs under the same department where we've got the World Children Prize program, where we go in schools and discuss issues of children's rights and how they can be their own advocates, because we believe at Shamari Manasikana we are not the voice of the voiceless, but rather they have got a voice of their own to discuss issues affecting them. And we have got the girls protection and support services, whereby we've got 24-hour service. We offer psychosocial support, breast counseling, as well as offer police escorts to hospital escorts to those victims who have come to report their cases. And in order for us to work hand in glove with the community, we've got that community development committee department, whereby we offer community strengthening, because we discover that we cannot do away with the parents of those children that we'll be dealing with. So in as much as we'll be capacitating those girls and in some of the programs with the boys, we need also to interact with the community influential people, like the community leaders as well as their parents. So basically that is Shamari Manasikana.
Very powerful. I guess I would want also to be part of the organization so that I'll make so much impact to these young girls out there.
Yes.
So let's get into the topic.
Yeah.
What is your definition of child marriage?
Okay, my definition of child marriage is that it's any formal marriage or informal union where one or both parties are under the age of 18, because that's what we are discovering nowadays. Those child marriage cases that are trending right now, both parties will be below the age of 18.
Yeah. Okay. And what are the causes of child marriage? I believe every society and every community has different causes, yeah, and different things that are then pushing, yeah, maybe parents or children then maybe to get into child marriages.
Yeah. So basically, as an organization, we both operate in the urban and rural areas. So you find that there are many causes of child marriages. One can say that in the rural areas, there's that form of child marriage in terms of poverty itself, whereby the family is poor. That's the basic one. They would have just to give somebody who's very rich, Mwanangu, and I'll know Mpawi, and then you have to give us food monthly and stuff like that. But I've got those cultural aspects such as Kugara, Mapiwa, you know, and issues to do with Chiramo, Chaicho. You find that you are very much in interaction with your brother-in-law,
yes,
and then Shoba Shapuri kids, and you find good that Mananenga Kwendachi Norozwa. But however, we're finding that in urban areas, it's that, you know, that saying that culture is dynamic, and now we are in the hip-hop era, and boys and girls that are actually having pasa-pasas, nude parties and all that. And you find that if that happens, they impregnate each other and then voila.
Yeah.
The family says, endow voto, endow no garayo. Yeah, that's the kind also that is happening in urban areas. And you also find that in churches, religion itself is actually a factor that is causing child marriages. In some churches, they say, kurods were like the apostolic sect, marange to be specific, at a young age, and manaka at 12 years, akutuan zishoni. Nis, akangotanga utakwenda ma periods, bakutuana utumanaku, rakutuana points of anobara.
And they want to make money out of
you. They want to make money out of that system. So you find that when it comes to causes of child marriages, we have to consider the areas, you know, in rural areas, therefore, that form the cultural and religion, religious aspect of it all. And then in urban areas, it's about them themselves, the youngsters, they're the ones who are contributing, they're making themselves victims to early child marriages. Yeah, and the aspect of having madara, as you know, in the they go because of that.
So what's the link between the law versus maybe the culture? I understand there are laws regulating marriages, and then we have the culture at the end. Is there sort of maybe a fight between the law and our culture?
What I can basically say is that when it comes to the law aspect, we just have what we can say the Concord rulings of 2016. But however, it's not really a law, and it's not doing anything to protect the culture, if I may say. We've got laws which are not aligned in terms of how they are going to protect the girl child to be a victim of early child marriages. And on the other side, we've got a culture that really supports early child marriage. So law and culture, they actually, at times I can say that they are really supporting each other, because there's nothing from the law side that's giving us, it's actually a
protecting,
crime.
Yes,
yeah, it's not protecting the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you find that the marriage act, it states that it's 16 years.
Yes,
yeah, a girl can actually go and get married. And culturally, at 16 years, wakura, you know. So it's something that is actually happening.
And yet, the legal age of majority is 18.
Yeah, it's 18 years. So you then wonder what's really happening with the law. There's no protection of the culture when it comes to the law.
And maybe there's nothing concrete then.
Yeah, there is nothing concrete, and there's even, we can't even speak with one voice when we speak of the law. And then the other side, we've got culture. Culture is actually the custodians of culture, the traditional leaders, you know. They are just headstrong, wanting to keep to what they believe in is the right thing to do.
Okay. So, what about the statistics from you, you know, your organization dealing with both girls from the rural areas and the urban areas? What can you say maybe, or which area would you say has the highest percentages of child marriages?
Right now, basing on most of the cases that we have received, we've received cases of early child marriages. The highest area being Chiwota right now. Yeah. But however, the problem now is most of those cases, they're unreported. They are not reported at all. And it gets hard now for us to really say that we've actually dealt with those cases, because it's just a person, a neighbor in the community will be like, whistleblows to us, and then we try by all means to help those girls, but you find that the parents will be like, no, there was no such thing that happened here, and they discussed among themselves, and stuff. It's something that is very normal for them. So you find that in areas like Chota and Murewa, you find that we can't really deal with those cases without the buy-in of the traditional leaders and the religious leaders as well. Yeah.
All right. And what could be the missing link in the fight against child marriages?
The missing link when we talk about the fight against child marriage is having one voice. When we, as an organization, as Shamari Manaskana, when you talk about assisting girls in terms of early child marriages, we want each and every person to be on board. When we say that, we mean we want the traditional leaders, the chiefs, the village heads, and everybody surrounding the girls, or the parents, the men themselves, want them to be on board and speak with one voice. Because as an organization, when we try, when we want to actually assist those girls and protect them, we need the buy-in of those traditional leaders to say, Mango Mudunu, Mukanzi Zoni, Atina, Mwana, Anoroa, Pasipema Kore 18, Unotoriba, and Tovata Indesana, where Chokana Mapurisa. We need that as an organization for us to be effective in trying to protect the girl child. So, what's linking is this relationship, that strong relationship of people or stakeholders around the girl child to speak with that voice. Even as organizations, we need to fight against child marriages using one voice. That's when maybe the government would actually understand and realign the laws, when we have that one voice.
Right. What are you doing as an organization to help young girls in terms of empowering them economically?
Okay, as an organization, we actually have it's actually an interesting topic for me, because we have we started new projects with the girls, and we are starting with kinder care girls as well. We have what you call financial education that we have, whereby we are starting with the kinder care girls on how they can save. But when we speak of kinder care now, we are not looking at both boys and girls, how they can save effectively. When they start with their 25 cents, why not talk to Mzete Sakuti? You can save your 25 cents and use 10 cents or suddenly 15 cents. 15 cents, okay, shenge te kawanda. You know, tenge ra something that is
really bad.
So at that age, if we train them to save, when now they reach the ages of 10, 11, they now understand that we need to do something with the Marianda
Safer for the community. Yeah.
Now that's what we are doing with the girls in under the Landa River Scanner Club. They are doing those mkandos, you know. We have meetings, their monthly meetings is the first Saturday and the last Saturday, whereby girls come and discuss issues, and also those issues of how they can empower themselves. And Maskana question is that actually they came saying, Auntie Tasha, they call me Auntie Tasha, Chudaku Seva Maria Danditi, Tatseva Maria Duyawanda, Chudaku Tenga Flower, Tatenga Flower, Bamu Chukudaku Zisakutua Gadzele Masamusa, Skoro Shafuru, they sell Kuchkoro. But when they are saying kutisus to know the tells you kutenge some majigis back at school, and they actually buy my packets of majigis and sell to school. And they say we want to have a party as girls, whereby to not change a take my chicken in and all that. Because it's also to not try to not believe a kuti. If Muskano comes in this akutuka nakirwane Maria Gushanda, Ocha Nakirwane Dara Chai's offer money. So that's what they are doing. And also we have got project that try to in Seke Rural Murewa as well as Chitunguza, whereby we're teaching them to make reusable sanitary pads. At times when things are tough and hard, you have to think of the basic things that you can do to survive.
Yes.
You know. So we came up with those reusable sanitary pads for them girls to learn, and if they manage to sew a lot, they can distribute to other vulnerable girls, and they can even sell to those pet shoppers. So that's what we are teaching them to do as girls. Some that are involved in poetry. You've got you got mazai ako and you have to sell. So we in a fight against early child marriages, and with the generation that we have right now, it's very essential for those girls to learn to be economically empowered.
And independent,
yes,
as well.
Yeah, they have to be independent. Yes, because without that, many men will take advantage of that. But if that girl realizes that I can do it on my own, and I can have $50 in my pocket as an individual, I can go and buy pizza or chicken in all by myself. So we are teaching them at this young age that you know, yeah, you have to. That's what we're doing as an organization.
Okay, this is very, you know, you touched my heart by talking about you then empowering these girls and telling them that sometimes you have to work on your own. Because when, once she starts working on her own, then she would then conscientize yourself that I don't necessarily have to go and marry this old man or this guy because my family is pushing me into it, but I can stand my ground, you know, with my savings and do something to sustain myself whilst I'm here.
Yeah.
So I couldn't then leave out the topic, the other half topic of sexual harassment, because I thought these things are intertwined.
Yeah.
Some of these girls are getting into child marriages because they've been harassed, and you then don't want to report this person.
Yeah.
So let's talk about sexual harassment. What is your definition of sexual harassment?
Okay. That's a very good topic there. Okay. Sexual harassment. I would define them as those sexual advances that can happen, like for organization, it's to a girl and she does not want them. It's either fondling, it's in either, you know, those
language.
Yeah, language. And the likes. That is sexual harassment.
Yeah,
I actually said kudoneda. Yeah, kudoneda msika, because at times when health functions back at our organization, we actually do not allow the DJs to play that song kudoneda msika, because we think so the guys will be looking right now. And my Windy, they actually use that term a lot when referring to that. So basically, that is sexual harassment.
So they are unwanted advances towards someone that doesn't really then want to be touched in that way, to be talked about, like maybe her body.
Yeah.
And what would you say maybe causes that? Is it maybe the girl, maybe how is it dressed? You know, men always say, you know, women, how you're dressed sometimes provokes us to then talk about your body and talk about how you're structured. Would we then put the blame on the girl that because she's dressed in a certain way or her body is built in a certain way that they would then say this caused us to harass you?
As an organization which is human rights centered and girls rights centered, I wouldn't blame it on a girl. You've got the right to dress whichever way you want, you know. So even if I dress in my miniskirt with the high sleeves, you know, that's me. But that does not give you the right to speak rudely to me or harass me verbally. That does not give you the right to come at me and actually touch my boobs or anything that is on me or my body. That does not give you the right. So I wouldn't blame on the girls, but I would actually blame on that person. You are the one who needs to learn self-control on yourself, because you find that in some instances, you find that even the girl can be harassed, somebody who's not even dressing provocatively, if they may say, but you'll be dressed decently, long skirts and all that, but they'll just shout at you, they'll just harass you verbally. So it's not the girl that we have to blame here.
Okay, I want to give you a scenario. You're working with very young girls. Most of them are vulnerable at school, especially because they spend most of their time at school. Let's say a girl comes, is at school, and she comes to your organization and they tell you that I was harassed by a teacher at school. But maybe the person that harassed them is the highest authority at school, maybe it's the headmaster. How do you help that girl so that maybe their issues taken up to authority? Because obviously she can't go to the headmaster and report it, or she can't even go to the senior master, senior woman, because that person is low, her authority or his authority is lower than the one who arrested her.
Okay, when we look at issues such as those, we don't look at the title of the person or the power of the person. It's wrong. And under the whole student rights program that we have in schools, we actually teach on these issues, that even if you are harassed by a teacher or the principal at that school, you can come to report to us and we will take the issue further, report to the police and go through the proper channels that we have to take. And we have received cases as well whereby a child or a girl is first it's the sexual harassment, the harassment, right, the sexual harassment, and then it leads to the girl being impregnated, right? And the teacher will be like, this girl was coming to me, you know, with advances, you know. That's what they all say, right? But we don't really look at the fact that this person is a teacher, but rather we look at the fact that that person is is abusive to the girl because this girl is very vulnerable. This girl cannot even do anything. She's defenseless when it comes to him because it's either he threatens using, I'm going to fail you, you know. It's not just happening in university, no. Even in
primary school,
high school. I'll be specific with high school, you know. So this girl would have to do whatever this teacher is telling her to do. But however, as an organization, we come in and we put a stop to that, what's happening, and report the teacher to the police, because it's not right for a teacher to abuse or sexually harass a pupil at school.
Yes. Yeah, that's very nice, and I'm quite intrigued that you are helping these girls to know, maybe with the education. I think I was so much concerned about, you know, the understanding of what sexual harassment is, yeah, because, you know, looking at the group of children in school, 14 to 18 years,
yeah,
most of them don't even know.
Yeah.
They might then, you know, mistake sexual harassment and love advances. Oh, he wanted to date me. But looking at it, you can't date your teacher. You can't.
Yeah. I think based on what you're saying, that was the essence of our Danda River Scanner. For us to define some of those terms, some of those actions, which may be interpreted differently, like date rape, like sexual harassment in school, you know. We are trying by all means to demystify that thing, you know. It's that way. We teach our girls issues to do with self-confidence, self-love, self-worth. If you've got all those principles inside you, yeah, there is no way that you're going to believe that this teacher just came to me for, you know, real dating. If the teacher wants you, let him wait till you're 18 and out of school, maybe successful, and then come to you. That's the gospel we are preaching. If you're not doing that, then you are going to let the police come and arrest you.
All right. Thank you so much, Natasha, for joining me. Before you go, I would just want you maybe to give us a take home. What can we take home? Maybe a recap of what we've discussed, so that maybe someone can, maybe someone didn't catch maybe what we're talking about during the podcast, but your take home would be good.
Okay, I think I'll speak specifically to the girls. Okay, good afternoon. Is it my good voice? Auntie Tasha speaking to you. Okay, so ladies, I believe that you have to be confident in life. Believe in yourself. Don't even think of where you're coming from. It does not define who you are. Even if you made a mistake, it does not define who you are. Where you're going is the important place where you have to reach. Think about yourself and believe in the importance of sisterhood. Don't look at that girl next to you and pull her down and think that she's a rival. No. Compete into those, like you want to be successful, you know, in life. Yeah, compete in those aspects. Don't compete yourself saying that you want to attract a boy and all that. You know, good men come. They come if you're just that young lady. Rongeka. Rongeka, and then make money for yourself. Be somebody. You're not a brailler, you know. Be somebody. Are you resourceful? Use your hands. And Danda River Scanner is the place to be for you to be that young, empowered young girl who's resilient, and no one would take advantage of you.
Okay, thank you. I think my take home is for young girls and young women who are out there, maybe who don't really then fall into the category of Yemwana Scanner's group, but those that want to free themselves from issues of child marriages, or those in conditions where maybe they've got a relative who's being forced to marry young, to always stand with those girls, to always stand with your fellow women, empower them, tell them that you can do this, and not wait for someone or maybe your neighbor then to tell you that this is wrong and let's report it. This has been Career Port. brought to you by Career in Zimbabwe in partnership with Capital 263, where we are free to do it, free to say it. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Career Zimbabwe, and also Capital 263 on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have any views, comments, recommendations for this show, please do let us know through our social media platforms. Join me on the next podcast. My name is Sue. Have a great day.